Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas Daf Mem Gimel the fourth parak Chochos Vibinto. So the three dafs are going to focus on number one. The Gemara on the bottom Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis taught that Rabbi Yavo was leaning on the shoulder of a certain Rabbi Nachum while going on the way, and Rabbi Nachum asked him several questions about the rule of Psak. Rabbi Yavo explained a machokas machokas stam halachokas stam. In a case where there's a machokas followed by an anonymous opinion, the halach is like the anonymous opinion. Stam ma'achachach machokas ain halachach stam. In a case of an anonymous opinion followed by machokas, the halach is not necessarily like the anonymous opinion. Stam de misnisin machokas of brisa halachach stam. In a case where there's an anonymous opinion in a mishnah and a machokas in a brisa, the halach is like the anonymous opinion in the mishnah. In a case of a machokas in a mishnah and an anonymous opinion in a brisa, the anonymous opinion in the brisa does not carry any weight. For if Rebbe, who redacted the Mishnah, did not teach this ruling as an anonymous opinion, how can Rabbi Chiya, his Talmid, know that the ruling is definitive? The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yavo with the Stam Mishnah and Kelim and a Machlokas and a Braisa, where the halacha was not in accordance with the Stam Mishnah, and concludes that, in fact, those with precise knowledge of the text of the Mishnah cited the opinion in the name of Rabbi Shimon, so it was not a Stam Mishnah. Point number two, the Gemara rules regarding the waiting period required for a nursing woman and a widow before they're permitted to enter Erison. A nursing woman, Sricha Lahamtin Esrim Barba Chodesh, Chutz Miyom Shenodbo, Vachutz Miyom Shenisarsobo. She needs to wait 24 months, excluding the day the child was born and excluding the day she enters Erison. And a widow, Sricha Lahamtin Shlosh Chadashim, Chutz Miyom Shemesbo, Vachutz Miyom Shenisarsobo. She needs to wait 3 months, excluding the day her husband died and excluding the day she enters into Erison. And pointing with you, the Mishnah Daf Mem Alf Amud Alf stated, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Nashmi Yisarsu Chutz Min Almana Bnei Ibo. All previously married women may enter into Erison at once, except for a widow who is forbidden to enter Erison for 30 days because of the mourning following her husband's death. Rav Chisda questions Rabbi Yossi based on the Kal Vachomer. If in the mourning period during which it's forbidden to launder clothing, which Rashi says is referring to the week that Tisha B'Av falls within, yet it's permissible to enter into Erison, then in a mourning period during which it's permissible to launder clothing, which Rashi explains refers to the 30 days of Avelus, is it illogical that it's permissible to enter into Erison? How can Rabbi Yossi prohibit Erison during this time? After a long analysis and one explanation, Rabashi provides an alternative answer. Sha'ani Avelos Chodashim Avelos Yoshana. Recent mourning is different than ancient mourning. Sha'ani Avelos Derabim Avelos Yochid. And communal mourning is different than personal mourning. Since the loss we mourn for on Tisha B'Av is not a fresh loss, and it's a communal loss, the mourning is not as strict, and therefore entering into Erison then is permitted. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara on the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amabes taught that Rabbi Yavo was leaning on the shoulder of a certain Rabbi Nachum while going on the way, and Rabbi Nachum asked him several questions about the rule of Psak. Rabbi Yavo explained, a machokas machokas stam halachokas stam. In a case where there's a machokas followed by an anonymous opinion, the halach is like the anonymous opinion. Stam machokas machokas ain halachokas stam. In a case of an anonymous opinion followed by machokas, the halach is not necessarily like the anonymous opinion. Stam de misnisin machokas of brisa halachokas stam. In a case where there's an anonymous opinion in a mishnah and a machlokas in a brisa, the halacha is like the anonymous opinion in the mishnah. In a case of a machlokas in a mishnah and an anonymous opinion in a brisa, the anonymous opinion in the brisa does not carry any weight. For if Rebbe, who redacted the mishnah, did not teach this ruling as an anonymous opinion, how can Rabbi Chiya, his Talmid, know that the ruling is definitive? The Gemara challenges Rabbi Yavo with the Stam Mishnah and Kelim and a Machlokas and a Braisa, where the halacha was not in accordance with the Stam Mishnah, and concludes that, in fact, those with precise knowledge of the text of the Mishnah cited the opinion in the name of Rabbi Shimon, so it was not a Stam Mishnah. Point number two, the Gemara rules regarding the waiting period required for a nursing woman and a widow before they're permitted to enter Erison. A nursing woman, Sricha Lahamtin Esrim Barba Chodesh, Chutz Miyom Shenodbo, Vachutz Miyom Shenisarsobo. She needs to wait 24 months, excluding the day the child was born and excluding the day she enters Erison. And a widow, Tzricha Lahamtin Shlosh Chadashim, Chutz Miyom Shemesbo, Vachutz Miyom Shenisarsobo. She needs to wait 3 months, excluding the day her husband died and excluding the day she enters into Erison. And pointing with you, the Mishnah Daf Mem Alf Amud Alf stated, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Nashmi Yisarsu Chutz Min Almana Bnei Ibo. All previously married women may enter into Erison at once, except for a widow who is forbidden to enter Erison for 30 days because of the mourning following her husband's death. Rav Chisda questions Rabbi Yossi based on the Kal Vachomer. If in the mourning period during which it's forbidden to launder clothing, which Rashi says is referring to the week that Tisha B'Av falls within, yet it's permissible to enter into Erison, then in a mourning period during which it's permissible to launder clothing, which Rashi explains refers to the 30 days of Avelus, is it illogical that it's permissible to enter into Erison? How can Rabbi Yossi prohibit Erison during this time? After a long analysis and one explanation, Ravashi provides an alternative answer. Shani Avelos Chodashim Avelos Yoshana. Recent mourning is different than ancient mourning. Shani Avelos Derabim Avelos Yochid. And communal mourning is different than personal mourning. Since the loss we mourn for on Tisha B'Av is not a fresh loss, and it's a communal loss, the mourning is not as strict, and therefore entering into Erison then is permitted. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Mem Gimel. Our standard Simmer is a magazine. So here goes. The magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erison chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for a nursing mother and widow, as well as a feature article on why an almana cannot enter Erison during the 30 days of Avelus, even though she can wash her clothes. Once again, it's a motion. The magazine on Psak magazine, that must be learned of Mem Gimel. The magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam, which reminds us that Rabbi Yehovah gave over to Rabbi Nachum rules of Psak, such as Stam, so the magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erison chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for a nursing mother and widow, which reminds us the Gemara rules regarding the waiting period required for a nursing woman and a widow before they're permitted to enter Erison. A nursing woman needs to wait 24 months, excluding the day the child was born and excluding the day she enters Erison. And a widow needs to wait 3 months, excluding the day her husband died and excluding the day she enters into Erison. So the magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erison chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for a nursing mother and widow, as well as a feature article on why an almana cannot enter Erison during the 30 days of Avelus, even though she can wash her clothes. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph stated, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Nashim Yisarsu Chutz Min Almana Mifnei Ibo, all previously married women may enter into Erison at once, except for a widow who is forbidden to enter Erison for 30 days because of the mourning following her husband's death. Rav Chisda questions Rabbi Yossi based on the Kal Vachomer. If in the mourning period during which it's forbidden to launder clothing, referring to the week that Tisha B'Av falls within, yet it's permissible to enter into Erison, then in a mourning period during which it's permissible to launder clothing, referring to the 30 days of Avelus, is it not logical that it's permissible to enter into Erison? So how can Rabbi Yossi prohibit Erison during this time? After a long analysis and one explanation, Ravashi provides an alternative answer. Shani Avelos Chadashim Avelos Yoshana, recent mourning, is different than ancient mourning. Shani Avelos Derabim Avelos Yochid, and a communal mourning is different than a personal mourning. Since the loss we mourn for on Tisha B'Av is not a fresh loss, and it's a communal loss, the mourning is not as strict, and therefore entering into Erison then is permitted. So once again, the magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erison chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for a nursing mother and widow, as well as a feature article on why an almana cannot enter Erison during the 30 days of Avelus, even though she can wash her clothes. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Lametz. So the Simmer Daf Lametz is a letter, and we often use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman's daughter, mailman, that must be one Daf Lametz, letter. The mailman's daughter who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died, which reminds us, Gemara brings two explanations as to why Beis Shammai ruled differently in the Reisha and Seifa of the Mishnah. Abai says that the Reisha refers to when the Yavama inherited the property when she was already Oshomer's Yavam, whereas the Seifa refers to when she inherited the property while her first husband was alive, and the Yaduk Yada, the husband's rights to the Nixim Elug, is equal to hers. Rava says both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with when she was Oshomer's Yavam. In the Reisha, the Yavam did not do Maimra, and in the Seifa, he did. Rava holds that according to Beis Shammai, Maimer makes the Yavama a Vadai Arusa Usafik Nesua. It makes her a certain Arusa in terms of being Docher Tzar from Yibum, but it only makes her a Safik Nesua. Therefore, her heirs split the inheritance with Yavam. So, the mailman's daughter who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died ended up collecting her ksuba from her first husband's estate, which reminds us that the chiyuv to pay the ksuba is upon her first husband's estate. The Gemara explains the reason for this is Isha Hikna Lomin Shamayim. They bestowed a wife upon the Yavam from Shamayim. Rashi explains that the Yavam did not obligate himself in the ksuba in terms of creating a shibut, a lien, on any of his property. Therefore, the Yavam is permitted to sell his property whenever he wants. The Gemara clarifies that if the first husband did not leave her any property to collect her ksuba, the Rabbanu were mitaken that she should collect her ksuba from the Yavam, kadesh in order that she should not be easy in his eyes to divorce. So the mailman's daughter, who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died, ended up collecting her ksuba from her first husband's estate when things didn't work out with her yavam, who did yibum with the stamp collection in mind. Which reminds us, Malchus, regarding which is preferred, yibum or chalitza, Abba Shulah held that yibum is not preferred if there are ulterior motives. For it was taught in a braisa that Abba Shulah said, if the yavam takes the yavama for the sake of beauty or for marriage or for any ulterior motive, ki upokeo be'erva, it's as though he engaged with an erva, and in my eyes, the child that is born is close to being a mamzer. Later, the Rabban came to agree with the Chachamim, who held that when the Pasuk states, Yavama Yavo Aleh, the Yavam shall have relations with her, it implies Mikol Makom, however he has relations with her, regardless of intent. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The father who inherited a swimming pool, that must mean we're Daf Mem, Mayim. The father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son, which reminds us, there's a Malchokas Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda regarding who inherits the deceased brother's property, his father or the Yavam. The Tanakam holds it's the Yavam, for the Pasuk states, Yakum Hashem Achiv, he shall succeed in the name of the deceased brother, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the father, for the Pasuk refers to the Yavam as the Bechor, to teach that he is Kebechor, like a Bechor. Just as the Bechor, even though he gets an extra share of the inheritance, does not get any of it while his father is still alive, so too the Yavam has none of the inheritance while his father is alive. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son hosted a Shnias of a Chalutza swimming party, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Alchos Yabimta hu Asur Bekrova Seah V'Asur Bekrova, one who did Chalitza with his Yavam is Asur to her relatives, and she is Asur to his relatives. Rabban decreed that since a Chalutza is similar to Gerusha, the relatives that are forbidden to a husband and his ex-wife should apply to a Chalutza as well. The Gemara asked that the Rabban decree Shnias should be forbidden to a Chalutza or not. Do we say that they only were goes to Shnias where the primary relative is an Erva Daraisa, but for a Chalutza, in which the primary relatives are only the Rabbanan, they did not, or were they Gozer Shnios? In any case, the Gemara brings a proof that they were Gozer Shnios from the fact that Ben Bito, his daughter's son, is forbidden to the Chalutza, and that is a Shnia relationship. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son hosted a Shnios of a Chalutza swimming party and invited a Yavam who did Chalutza and was upset he couldn't marry the Tzara of the sister of his Chalutza. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Muta ad mikrobas tsaras chalutza so, vasibat tsaras krobas chalutza so. The Yavam is permitted to the relatives of the tsara of his chalutza, but is prohibited to the tsara of the relatives of his chalutza. The Gemara explains that regarding the relative of the chalutza, referring to her sister, who accompanies her to Beis Din, the Rabban decreed that she should be treated like the chalutza herself, and her tsara should become forbidden. Rashi clarifies that people might mistakenly think that the sister is the chalutza, and if the Yavam ever married the sister's tsara, people might think that he's doing Yibum with his Chalutza's Tzara, and that he's permitted to do so. Therefore, the Rabban prohibited one from marrying the Tzara of his Chalutza's sister. Daf Memalv, so the similar Daf Memalv is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must mean we're in Daf Memalv. The grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh the sister of a Yavama after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died. Which reminds us, Gemara asks, Mesa Ishta Mahi Biyabimta, what is the din in a case of where a brother was Mekadosh the sister of a Yavama who was waiting for Yibum, and the sister dies? Is the brother permitted to the Yavama? Rav and Rabbi China both say he is permitted to take the Yavama, and Shmuel and Ravasi say that he's forbidden to take. Rav said that Rav's reason for permitting the Yavama is, Mishum Dehavi Yavama Shuhutra Benesu V'chazu V'hutra, because he's the Yavama who was initially permitted to the Yavam, then forbidden, and then permitted again. Taksu Leheter HaRishon. Therefore, it's logical. She returns to her permitted state. Shmuel and Ravasi hold Kevin Sha'amda Lav Sha'achas Be'isr Nesro Lav Olamis. Since the Yavama stood before the Yavam in a forbidden state for even one moment, she's forbidden to him forever. So, the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh the sister of a Yavama after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do chalitza in the first 3 months since he cannot do yibum. Which reminds Rabbi Yossi taught regarding chalitza, the pasuk states, imo yachbots, and if the man does not wish to take his yavama in yibum. This implies that if he would wish to, he could take her in yibum. From here we learn, ko ola yibum ola chalitza, because eino ola yibum eino ola chalitza. Whoever can do yibum can do chalitza, and whoever cannot do yibum cannot do chalitza. This is the reason that chalitza cannot be done the first 3 months after the husband's death, since yibum cannot be done then. So, the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh the sister of a Yavama after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do yibum. and that he better not be a naughty boy and run away, because the Yavam will be supported from his property. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, the Yavama Shlosha Chadashim Rishon Nizonis Michelle Baal. A Yavama, the first 3 months after her husband's death, she receives financial support from her husband's estate. From then on, she receives no support, neither from her husband's estate or from the Yavam. Amar Bedin Ubarach Nizonis Michelle Yavam. If he, the Yavam, was brought to Din by the Yavama for refusing to do Yibum or Chalitza and he ran away, then she is supported from the Yavam's property. The lacha is that if she fell to a Yavam Katan, a Yavam who is a minor, she does not receive support. Mishamaya Kansua, she has been penalized by Shemaim. Her husband is not responsible for her losing out. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster. Mobster. That must mean we're in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time when one was given her get before he could marry her, which reminds us, Rav explains that even though Rav holds that a woman must wait 3 months to remarry from the time of the giving of her get and not from the time of the writing, Rav would agree that in the case of a chalitza, 3 months are counted from the husband's death based on the Kal Vachomer. Issachar sitarte isser love lokol shekain. If you permitted the Yavam, who was previously forbidden to the Yavama by an Issacharis, to take her in Yibum 3 months after her husband's death, then Kal Vachomer, a new husband who was previously forbidden to her based on a love that prohibits the Yavama to marry until after she does Chalitza, should be permitted to marry her 3 months after the husband's death. So the mobster who was fuming when he was told he had to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that all women must wait 3 months after the previous marriage before entering Erisin or Nisuin. The Gemara asks that while it's necessary for a Yavama to wait 3 months to determine if she's pregnant so that the Yavam will not come to sin, what harm is there if it turns out a woman is pregnant from her previous husband? Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that it says in the Parsha of Bris Mila, "Liyos l'cha elokim l'zaracha acharecha," to be a God to you and to your offspring after you. Rashi explains that the Shekhinah will only dwell on those whose yichus can be traced to his father. Postponing a marriage 3 months will clarify if the child is from the first marriage or not. So the mobster was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, blew his top when he was told he wasn't even permitted to marry a third woman because she was pregnant. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a man may not marry a pregnant woman since there's no confusion as to who the father is. After the first few explanations are rejected, the Gemara answers, "Stamu uberes l'manika kaima." The average pregnant woman eventually becomes a nursing woman, and the Rabbanim were concerned that she might become pregnant while nursing and the milk will sour, which will lead to the infant's death. So once again, the mobster who was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, blew his top when he was told he wasn't even permitted to marry a third woman because she was pregnant. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.